Blog Talk Radio.
Shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, to Showtime Radio Time. I am Sweet Rascally Rabbits, broadcasting to you live in your sweet, beautiful ears, no matter how ugly you think they are. Hang on, everyone. There it is. Ah. Got it. There was something stuck in my tooth, and it was driving me nuts. Sorry. I was trying to eat a little bit of a supper, or at least I should say a late lunch. Because I was getting really faint and slightly nauseous. Have you guys ever been in a situation where you guys just, where a guy or girl is like, you know they've been in a depression, in a time of depression, you have no idea if they're out of it, and there's some, and they're just suddenly being super clingy? Yeah, I'm in that situation. I mean, I don't know what is going on with him. I honestly don't. And it seems like every time he talks to me, I mean, I don't talk to him like face to face. We talk to each other through Facebook. I haven't seen him in years, in all honesty. And it's just weird to be in this kind of situation, because I don't know how to explain it. I honestly don't. I really don't. But it seems like I actually used to hang out with him in high school. He joined my high school when I was in my junior year, and he's actually been really flirty with me since. But after I graduated, like, we hadn't seen each other, and we did off and on, like, throughout the years, just because we'd bump into each other. But recently, like, he's been trying to talk to me, and I was kind of not physically, but I was kind of there when he was going through depression. I still have no idea if he's still there or if he's out of it, but he's been, like, trying to get back with me, and I honestly just, on all those memories that I have of him, I never felt any feelings, I never felt any romantic feelings to him, I should say. And I don't really know if there ever will be, but he's, like, super begging for a date. So I think I'm just going to, like, I'm not going to humor him. I'm definitely not going to, like, I'm not going to enable him, that's for sure. I'm really trying hard not to, but it seems like if I do this just once, at least for him, then perhaps he'll let go, because he needs to. I don't know if I'll ever get feelings for him, and I don't know if it ever will happen. I don't know. But I think I need to do this just to let him experience what a date with me would be like. And I don't know. I don't know. Anyways, you guys aren't tuning in because of my life issues and whatnot. Today, we are finishing the book of Shooting Death, Not, the fourth and final installment of The Nessus World. I am actually super excited about this, and I am also super sad. Who is... Oh, I know who that is. If you hear any pings in the background, it's because of this one Twitter account that keeps sending notifications. I'm active with a couple of the Twitter profiles. I'm an active follower with some of the profiles on Twitter, and they're constantly sending tweets. I don't know why, because sometimes they're the most random things. All right, anyways, you guys are tuning in to the last book reading of the Nessus World installments. This is the final book. This is the fourth book. I am super excited about it. All right, so let me actually explain what happened in the previous reading. Stop it, Melville. Sorry. let's see. What was the last seven? Okay. In the last reading, Erivia and... Dang it, I'm forgetting the character names. Erivia's doctor sent Lauren to a mental institution, or at least that's what we think he's sending her to. We don't really know. But Erivia kind of experiences that level of betrayal, and she doesn't like it. So she ends up running home, and of course, oh, I almost forgot. And of course, that ghost that Lauren knows, Noreen, she haunts the doctor because of what happened. She really doesn't like what he did, and she haunts him to heck. She does everything imaginable that she can think of, which is a lot. I don't really mention that in the book, but you can when Noreen comes up again, you'll understand why. At least I think, yeah. So let's see what happened next. Erivia got to talk to her mom and her dad. She and her mom is, sorry, it's kind of hard to see because of the sun. It's starting its descent for a sunset, and I can't see my screen. Where am I? sorry. I don't know why I did that. Was that John Wayne? let's see. I'm stuttering. I'm using fillers. This is not good. Okay, so that's right. Her mom says the hen house is full, which is basically code saying that Lauren has been sent to some sort of mental institution, at least. It's not really mentioned, but it's hinted. Erivia keeps saying that they should get her aunt out of there, but her parents keep saying, no, she has connections. She can do it herself. They can help her. And Erivia kind of tells what happened of what her aunt said. Because of this, she remembers a story that her aunt told her over the years. And something happened. Like, what was it I said? Newspapers, magazines, books, stories, everything that she had read, even pretending to read, came to her mind, absorbing all that news and such. And doing that ended up giving her a second talent, which is called recalled memory. What she can do is basically, she can replay any memory in her life, and she can either be in a room with someone or touching them, and she absorbs information, absorbs memories from their life, and just automatically know what's going on. And it's incredible. It's a great talent, and she kind of controls that, actually, which is impressive. And her mom is really shocked by this, and doing that, just getting that talent really makes Erivia just grow up quickly, kind of like Matilda, kind of like in the film Matilda, in the book Matilda. Good grief. And I still need to read that book. But she expresses to her mom and her dad about seeing that betrayal, and she wanted to do something about it, and she realized that her aunt needs family support, real family support, that unconditional love that everyone wants. And Delilah, her mom, realizes she never did that when Lauren first got her talent when she was just a kid, when she was almost a baby, really. And so she wants to change that. It's crazy. And so actually happens, like, right when Lauren comes back, and then Lauren's husband, Patrick, which he's also in the previous book, The Death of Her. I still think I need to change that title, but anyways, I think I might have to start reading. But basically, last Friday's reading ended with, well, first of all, there is one little trivia that I super love, is that Olivia asks her aunt if Patrick really left the Nessus family so he could marry her. And that's the trivia, because from the previous books in the series, in the installments, we learned that there is a forbidden love. Like, no one can marry someone who does not have the same talent as theirs. And when Patrick learns of that, he decides to leave the Nessus family so that he can marry her. It's so romantic. So anyways, Olivia wants to go... Oh, no, wait. Lauren wants to go back to the hospital to talk to Dr. Kemp, and Olivia wants to go with her. Her mom says yes, but only if Patrick comes with them. And that's actually where we are. So, I'm going to go ahead and start reading. Stop it, Melville House. Okay, so where did we stop? Doop, 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 boop, doop, boop, boop. After the family talked a while, Olivia, Lauren, and Patrick went to the hospital. It took them a while to find Dr. Kemp. He stood next to the gynecology section. He was finishing a conversation with a coworker. The coworker spotted Olivia, recognized her from before Kemp's haunting, and excused herself away. Dr. Kemp narrowed his brows.
Dr. Kemp?
Olivia called. He turned to her.
Stay away from me.
Patrick rose his brows in shock.
Please, just listen. Aunt Lauren has been doing this for so long. She thought...
Lauren stopped her. She saw Noreen standing next to the doctor.
I thought that you would want the honest truth. You asked for that truth, doctor, and Noreen said you needed to know.
Stop, he said shakily.
I believe you.
Before he gulped, his chin quivered.
Just stay away from me.
Patrick shook his head.
What happened, Dr. Kemp?
Simon gulped once more.
Ravia? No, her name is Olivia. After Olivia ran because of what I'd done, something...
He trembled in fear.
Everything flew at me, hit me, and the next thing I knew, I was off the ground.
His breathing grew heavy.
I've never been so scared in my life, and at the same time, I felt such hostility. I don't understand where it came from.
I do,
Lauren said. Her lips frowned in disappointment.
She's here. And she looks weary.
Her brows narrowed.
What'd you do, Noreen?
What'd
you do, Noreen?
Noreen shook her head. She pointed to a door, which suddenly opened. Simon jumped in fright. Lauren walked into the surgical room. With the hesitating doctor being last, the others followed her.
I saw the ending of it.
Olivia ran off crying. I was so angry at him. And when I found out what he did before she left, she trembled in disbelief and anger.
I felt so enraged. Followed him, haunted every moment. Noreen, you know how much energy that takes. You should have stopped. He's mad enough.
Noreen reluctantly nodded. Touching her forehead, Lauren's side. Patrick steps toward her. Simon licked his lips.
Why did she do that to me?
Your actions made her angry. She didn't like them at all. She glanced around. Is the room spinning? Dr. Simon Kemp narrowed his brows. Placing the stethoscope in his ears, he listened to her heart. He hummed with worry.
Heartbeats irregular. How long has this been going on?
Lauren bit her upper lip.
A month. I meant to go to a doctor. But there are so many ghosts to cross over.
She said with a gulp.
Been busy.
The doctor led her out.
You're not taking her anywhere without me,
Patrick spoke. Simon looked at him. He blinked.
Of course, Mr. Boyle.
Olivia followed them. Without warning, a ghost appeared next to them. Lauren shook her head.
Neron, they're here! The others are here! The ghost cried.
Lauren groaned.
Patrick, get Olivia out of here,
she whispered. His brows narrowed.
They're here. They've tracked her weather talent.
He gasped. Olivia touched her hand. They exchanged glances of different emotions.
I'm not going anywhere, Aunt Lauren,
she said firmly.
I want to see my cousin.
Lauren and Patrick's eyes widened. Her aunt gripped the door handle to prevent herself from fainting. She turned pale and smiled faintly. They walked out of the surgical room. Patrick then saw people running around, as did Dr. Kemp. The doctor asked the nurse what was going on. She answered,
There's these men in uniform. They're carrying guns.
What kind of guns? Lauren asked. The nurse looked at her.
I didn't look, but they're real enough. Did one of them have slick hair and a ponytail?
She shook her head. Lauren sighed.
We still have to get you out of here,
Lauren said, facing her.
I don't want them to find you after you just received yours. We can't run from them forever, Aunt Lauren.
Her aunt kneeled to look her in the eyes.
I know, but you don't know what they could do. They're dangerous. I'm not going.
Down here, a man called. Hearing him, Lauren hugged her tight and closed her eyes.
Please, no, don't take her,
she rushed hoarsely. 5 men ran down the hallway toward them.
Stand up! Let me see your hands!
One yelled. Still hugging Olivia, she stood to carry her.
Put her down!
Never,
she said shakily.
You're not getting us.
During the ruckus, Simon observed their guns. They held stun guns, surprisingly. He knew what they intended next. Simon gulped and stepped forward.
I'm the one who put her in the asylum. Take me instead.
Ooh, there it is. There is confirmation. One of the men stared at him.
You're not one of them.
You're not taking them, Simon stated. Lauren and Noreen gave a small smile.
Stand down, sir,
another demanded. I know something you don't. It's got to do with gumption and medical
conditions. You want to use that gun? Use it on me.
The fourth man aimed his gun at Lauren and fired. Simon ran to block the stun box. It landed on his stomach. He wheezed, and he knew it still had some juice left. The doctor quickly pulled the stun box to throw it at the third man. The third man fainted.
Go!
Simon yelled. Lauren and Olivia stared at him.
Go!
Lauren stepped back, but not before the men fired the remaining 3 guns. Noreen managed to move one box, causing it to land on an EKG machine. Simon Kemp grabs the 2 boxes. Noreen cried and ran to him.
Please, no, Simon, she rushed. Let go, let go.
But he wouldn't. He turned his gaze to Olivia and the Boyle family.
Go.
Before collapsing, he shivered.
Noreen, I'm sorry.
Eyes rolled to the back of his head. His person trembled. He died.
No!
Noreen cried. Of all things, she wished she could cry. Ghosts didn't need tears, though. She looked up to see his ghost forming.
Hi, Noreen,
he whispered. She hugged him.
Forgive me.
Why did you do that? Why did you kill yourself? He hugged her in return.
What I had done to Olivia and Lauren made me realize you wouldn't do that to them.
He shivered.
You would protect them at all costs.
Simon pulled away to cup her cheek.
And all I ever wanted was to be with you.
She chortled before they kissed. Tears rolled down Lauren's cheeks. Patrick wiped them off. After she looked at him, his brows narrowed. She smiled weakly. He died protecting us just to be with her, she whispered.
He shook his head. It goes to show how powerful love is, Patrick thought.
Simon turned his head toward the men who ran after the family. He gasped. Noreen saw as well. She pointed to a rolling cart. It blocked them suddenly. They crashed into it. Olivia aimed her hands at them. No, Lauren said. We'll give them more of a reason to take us. At that moment, the four men froze in place. Noreen's eyes widened. She stared at her hands and realized she didn't cause that. Simon narrowed his brows.
What's going on?
They looked around. That's when Noreen spotted someone standing at a corner. She pointed.
Another person? With telekinesis?
She nodded. He must be from the Nessus family. His brows narrowed more.
Noreen saw his confused face.
She chuckled. I'll tell you later. He pointed in a direction.
Would that later be with me in this fight?
He wondered. In shock, she gasped. She faced him. Please, not yet. Don't go.
You're not coming with me?
He asked in fright. Noreen gulped. The others have been after us for so long. I intend to be here when they stop. While he thought, their foreheads touched. He sighed.
I wouldn't be happy without you,
he whispered. She smiled and kissed him. I've always loved you, Simon. As they left the hospital together, more Nessus members showed up. They managed to disperse the others. Their memories were wiped. They couldn't remember why they stood at the hospital, so they returned to their others' locations. It turned out Lauren had been 1 month pregnant. The couple couldn't be more excited. I'm stuttering today. Olivia was asked to join the Nessus family. Lauren begged her to consider all options. She didn't need to do so, even after returning Laura to Lynn. Olivia said yes without hesitation. She never regretted it. The end. I love that book, even though I kept stuttering to you guys. All right. So just to make sure, I honestly don't know if that's the correct pronunciation of her name, but her name is Olivia, A-R-I-V-I-A, Olivia. That's how I've been pronouncing it, and I love that name. I think it might be Russian. I tried to make sure that her first name was Russian, even though, because, I don't know. Anyways, let me check how much time there is. And, yeah, okay, I still have I think I have like a minute and a half left. So I want to read to you guys what the next book is going to be. The next book is going to be The Royal Conspiracy. Now, I super love this book. I had a lot of fun writing it. I'm going to read to you the original description I have for the book, and then I'm going to read to you the description that I will be using in the radio segments. So here's the original. It seems like your average Prince and the Pauper story for girls. The heiress was once an orphan who got caught stealing from a thieves' tribe. He adopted her, raised her as his own while training her. The princess grew up most of her life without a father. She was raised by her mother and the help of a nursemaid. The two were born identical and had a lot in common, though their lifestyles seemed different like night and day. They would have grown their lives apart, not knowing a thing about each other, but fate decreed they wouldn't. I like that. All right, and now, oops. Okay, and now the altered description that I'm going to be using for the radio segments. Inspired by several Prince and Pauper films, this story tells of two smart women. The adopted heiress learns to survive. The princess had a fashion designer for a father figure. Though they led separate lives in different worlds, the two held so much in common. They would have grown their lives apart, but fate decreed they wouldn't. I don't know why I'm stuttering today. I think it's because I'm kind of rushing myself here. All right, so that is it for now. I am going to bid you all adieu. I hope you all have a great morning, afternoon, evening, or night, wherever you are in the world. I'm saying goodbye with Open Arms by Journey. I love this song, and I hope you do too.